Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today. We're excited about the great, great things that God is doing here in this end time hour. I'm excited because I am a part of what God is doing. And it's up to you. It's your choice as well to be a part of what God is doing as well. No one person has a claim on God. No man can stake a claim on God and say, I have all of God, and no one else can get in or get anything from God. But God is able to be received of all men. Whosoever will, let him come drink of the fountain of life freely, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do want to remind you about the Authority Evangelism Discipleship Gathering. You need to go to seedtimeharvest.net. Seedtimeharvest.net. Prophet Pastor Scott Lathrop, Reverend Colonel, and myself, David Langford, will be there October the 28th, 29th, and 30th. I will not be at the Knoxville meeting, so I encourage you to make your arrangements to be with us in the Nashville area, actually Franklin, Tennessee. But you'll go to the website, www.seedtimeharvest.net. You can get the information that you need to be there. I would love to see many of you there. We had an awesome, awesome, awesome time in Morningside with Brother Jim Baker, and we'll be going back there very soon. And since I've come home, I've tried to write this book, and I should be through by the end of the week, God willing, on the church versus the bride of Christ. The church is his body. The bride is New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And when I made that statement, it stoked Brother Baker so profusely. He said, you've got to get this in writing. I've been taught this all my life, just another erroneous doctrinal thing that we have been taught. But nowhere do you find the church ever being recognized as a woman, as a bride, or as a wife. Never, ever, ever. So we're going to dispel that rumor in this book. We're going to address the bridegroom, the church, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to address, of course, the bride, which is New Jerusalem, unequivocally, Revelation 21, verse 2, Revelation 21, verse 9. Before we get into the program, I want to play a little song today from a black pastor in Decatur, Georgia, Pastor Dewey Smith. And they have some of the greatest music. And I've never heard the man preach, but I love his music. I hope the music will speak to you today, simply put.
Can anybody help me say it like this? Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. No higher place that I have found. Oh, yeah. Plant my feet, plant. Everything. Lord, lift me up. let me serve.
Nothing like a little soul music on Monday afternoon, praise God. Psalm 61 and 2, from the end of the earth. Will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher ground. God can take his church. He can take his people to a higher position in Christ. He does that. He's raised us up, Paul said in Ephesians, and made us to sit in heavenly places. What a great joy to know that the church, the body of Christ, can be made to sit in heavenly places. I thank God for that today, that I've been an heir and a partaker, and that he has raised us up and suffered us to sit in holy and heavenly places with him. I wanted to share two emails today. One was about the meeting in Blue Eye. Said, I just wanted to tell you that my husband and I cherished the opportunity to hear you in person in Blue Eye. What powerful anointed messages. We're extremely thankful to be able to listen to you on Blog Talk Radio, but hearing you in person was special to us. If you would kindly pass on to your beautiful wife that we were very blessed with her anointed songs of praise, and we thank you so much for that, Shelley and her husband. Now, this other email is a controversial email, which I love. Dear Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you I can't support you any longer to think you know everything and have stopped seeking truth amazes me when it comes to earth science. We have all been blinded to so many things, and I am concerned to waking up to the one and only truth, Jesus. The earth is flat, and by perspective, the sun disappears on a 24-hour cycle constantly, or consistently and accurately, for all of time about the northern star, Polaris. We've been brainwashed by NASA and all the Freemasons for 500 years. Furthermore, your strong-headed attitude does not serve you in this case, albeit an asset for faith. It is leading you down a path of error. It is leading you down a path of error. So when I tell you about the important things like believing the Trinity is idolatry, believe me. Genesis 1 and 26, us means God and Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. Well, John, I feel sorry for you. And furthermore, I don't want your support because you're the self-righteous person. I've said many times, I do not know everything. But if you know anything about history, when Columbus sailed to America, they had great fear and angst. He would sell off the earth. Now, I've had the fortune to be in other parts of the world. And when I call my wife, for instance, from Israel, it's 5 o'clock or a few minutes after Eastern Standard Time here, but it's 11 o'clock in Israel. And it's dark. It's dark there now, but it's daylight here. And when people are that bigoted and self-righteous, you see, they don't understand the truth. Now, John Stinton says he's an engineer. I wouldn't want that man engineering a doghouse for me. You see, 1 Timothy 6 and 19, Paul said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, poor old John here says he can't support me any longer because I've quit seeking truth when it comes to earth science. John, I wouldn't give you a hill of beans. I wouldn't give you a toothpick for science. You see, I believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. You can throw your engineering garbage out the door. Anybody that watches a satellite take a picture of the earth and has the unmitigated gall to say the earth is flat, you cannot argue with a fool. This is the... Now, this brother says he's a child of God, and he breaks fellowship because I am so strong-headed and I say I know everything. That is a bold-faced lie. I've said many times, I don't know everything. But you see, these are the false accusations. This is the work of the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And John, I know you're listening, but what you ought to do is turn me off. You should turn me off and never, ever listen to a word I have to say again. Because, John, you're deceived. You're the one that's deceived. You see, there's such a thing called an horizon. And you cannot see over the horizon until you get to the horizon. If the earth was flat, and that was true, you'd only have to go up so many feet high in the air, and you could see straight across to China. But the earth is a sphere, and I'm not going to get into geometry here, but when you take geometry and you develop that within a sphere and horizon, you can only see so far of a distance because of the horizon and the element of sphere. It's light, when it's broken, is refracted. One of the problems they've had in the military early on was shooting radar signals out to detect other ships, whatever the case might be. But because of the roundness of the earth, that radar beam would go out in a straight way and overshoot, because of the horizon, the ship, the other naval ships. Light travels in a straight line unless it's refracted or put through a prism of sorts. And so Paul is telling Timothy to avoid profane and vain, and the word vain there, by the way, John, means worthless babblings. Worthless babblings. What you want to make an issue out of is worthless, just as your spiritual integrity is worthless. You see, what we have here, when Paul says avoid vain babblings, it's statements and speeches of sorts that are fruitless. That are fruitless, and they are devoid of any divine or spiritual character. Has nothing to do with the needs of salvation and Christianity, but yet people are so ignorant, and I've said this before, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Some people become so ignorant of Satan's devices, they become a device. Satan has the ability to use them. You see, when you start arguing science, you are destitute and devoid of spiritual character. You see, science has nothing to do with man's redemption and salvation. And so Paul told Timothy, avoid profane and vain babblings. Why? They don't accomplish anything. They're cynical. What is something that's profane is virtually void of godliness. Void of godliness. If we believed Darwin, you're a monkey. You're a monkey. Now, I know we have some people who act like monkeys, but that's not where man came from. And then, to castigate me about the Trinity. Now, let me show you the ignorance of stupidity. Genesis 1:26 says, and let us make man in our image and likeness. If I remember correctly, I could be off a little bit there. I'm not sure, but I'm not going to bother to go see if I'm right or wrong. But, you know, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So John says that's Jesus and God, not the Holy Ghost, too. Well, you see, the ignorance is magnified when Genesis 1 and 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I wonder who told the Holy Ghost to move upon the face of the waters. You see, when you get down to brass tacks, it just shows you how stupid, how biblically illiterate and ignorant people want to be. Now, let me give you some more Bible to validate the Trinity. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God, that's a person, right? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's another person. That makes two if I can count correctly. With the Holy Ghost and with power. There's your third person. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, I'm giving you Bible to authenticate truth. I'm not giving you some rhetorical jargon, some kind of garbage. Then we have 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record, or three that bear witness in heaven. You see how stupid the man is? I didn't say that. God said there are three that bear record or bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, this is the problem with the church. Biblically stupid and illiterate. As I was preaching on the Holy Ghost Saturday night at Jim Baker's, I brought up the fact that this Methodist General Assembly meeting, where they had the huge placards declaring, "I'm a queer pastor, I am a queer deacon." And I held up my Bible and I said, "Can somebody please show me in the Word of God a queer pastor and a queer deacon?" Now, I didn't call them that. They said that about themselves personally. And so I said, "Can somebody give me Bible where the Bible calls a pastor a queer pastor and a deacon a queer deacon?" Now, Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I will send them pastors according to mine heart who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding." God never sent queer pastors. Now, the devil will send you a queer pastor in a heartbeat. God never ordained or established queer deacons. But now the devil, oh, he'll send you anything you want. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:8 that a deacon must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let them also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. I don't think the term queer deacon is blameless. No, that's a man with a grave fault of sin. You see, I'm not an engineer. But I got an engineer trying to tell me how to preach. Now, I would never tell an engineer how to do his engineering drawings because I'm not one. See, that's not my specialty. And this is what we have in the church today. We got people who are trying to be super, super duper spiritual, and they're not even called to the ministry. You see, there's a reason why God calls men. Now, John recognizes my calling in that my strong-headed attitude does not serve me well except for my faith. Well, what does your ignorant, strong-headed attitude do in serving you, John? You see, Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." John, you stick to engineering and I'll stick to preaching, okay? This shows you how the church is so carnally minded. And a man wants to pick a fight over the subject of a flat earth. So let me get this straight. Once the sun sets, it goes and it hides beneath a flat earth for 24 hours. But you see, the truth is, it's dark in the Middle East. And the sun is brightly shining right here. I remember in 1989, I was pastoring in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the great hurricane called Hugo. The satellite pictures showed this monstrosity of a storm. One of the greatest, most powerful formed storms ever. How could they show that because of satellites that, if I can use this term, orbit the Earth. You know, North Korea has satellites that are orbiting the Earth, and some in the military say we need to shoot the thing down. It orbits the Earth twice a day. And they say when it is over the United States, we would be pragmatic, we would be prudent in taking the satellite down, because there are some military authorities who believe that now that they've been able to get a satellite into orbit, that they may well equip it with a nuclear weapon and then detonate one over the United States of America, and we have an EMP. An electromagnetic pulse. And what would that do to us? Well, it would fry all of the electronics, for the most part. Even Ted Koppel, a non-believer, a non-Christian, wrote a book about the power grid and how tenuous the grid is for all of us in the event there is some type of an accident or EMP or something of that nature. But it orbits the Earth. Now, the word orbit simply means a circle. To send up and make something to revolve or orbit, such as a satellite. Remember the Blackbird plane? I think it's Blackbird 71, that great aircraft that they flew all over the world. I think it's now out of service, but it would fly way, way in the heavenlies, and they would take photographs of nations. And it was so high, it could fly so high, that was the reason for its design. And I remember reading about the Air Force officer who flew that plane. And he said he watched the sun rise and set three times in one day. So I reckon the pilot of that aircraft was doing LSD while he was flying, because he saw the sun rise and the sun set three times in one day. How's that possible if the Earth is flat? This is what concerns me about Christians, or so-called professing Christians. They will believe a lie and they will be damned because they're believing lies. Now I would not argue one point that our government, NASA, all of them lied to us. I mean, that's evident. But I can sit on my front porch and watch the sun set. But I can pick up the phone and call one of my friends in California, and the sun is still high in the sky. That's called relativity, time and space. See, it's 5:31 here, but it's 2:31 in California. The further you go east, the earlier it is. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing you can reach the North Pole and you can reach the South Pole, but as far as the East is from the West, it's never ending? Think about what I just said. You can reach the North Pole. You can reach the South Pole. But when it comes to East and West, you can't reach it. It's endless. It's in perpetuity. Psalms 103, verse 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. East is from the west. Now, I know a little bit about farming, a little bit about construction. Now, the reason we use round fence post is because a round fence post, the pressure when applied in an attempt to break it, it keeps circling in perpetuity around the post. Now, you can eventually put so much pressure that it will break, but it will not break as easily as a square post. Why? Because once the pressure reaches the edge, it drops off. And there's nowhere for the stress to go. So the square post will snap much more quickly than a round post. Rome was great about building arches. The ability to handle stress and pressure. It's kind of funny that a guy claims to be an engineer would write me this and then castigate my spirituality and that I don't even know anything about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But I look at the asininity when God in Genesis 1 and 26 said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and yet it was in Genesis 1 and 2 that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And it's 1 John 5 and 7 says, for there are three that bear witness, or three that give record. I just taught this indirectly some weeks ago from Philippians 1. God as my record, God as my witness. It is people like this that will embrace the mark of the beast because they are already deceived. If you're already deceived about certain things biblically, you will fall into greater snares and greater traps. Now, I'm sure John did not even know that Paul told Timothy to avoid these elements of science and opposition. Avoid them. Why? They're vain. And what does the word vain again mean? Worthless. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. You know, Darwin got people to believe in his stupidity. You know, Adolf Hitler made the statement, because some of you may or may not know this, he spent several years in prison before he got out, and he overthrew their, what we would call our Congress, Paul Hindenburg, which would be equivalent to the Speaker of our House in Congress. He overthrew him and got control of their Parliament, Congress, whatever you want to deem the German hierarchical government. But he said he learned something in prison that was the most powerful thing he ever learned. And that was propaganda. Propaganda. Propaganda is a lie that is purported to be truth. This is what America's news media does to the people. They fill us with propaganda. You see, the reason for the news and reporting in its conception was to make sure you and I would always have access and ability to know the truth. I thought it was very hypocritical of Bill O'Reilly. I sent him an email, but he didn't respond. When he showed the pictures of Barack Hussein Obama in his Muslim garb at a wedding, he brought that out, I don't know, it may have been 2 months ago now. And I thought, you wait till the man is about ready to leave office, and then you bring out this garbage. You see, propaganda is ideas, facts, well, really not facts, I should retract that. They're ideas and allegations that are deliberately spread for the purpose to damage somebody or something or an institution or a aspect of altruism. And so Hitler found a way to dupe the people by advocating and appropriating propaganda. And the reason we have such propaganda in America is for the purpose of deception and duplicity to mislead and misguide the public. Now, that's of the devil, because the devil always lies and misrepresents the truth. See? It's always to sow seeds of doubt, seeds of deception, seeds of duplicity, seeds of rebellion, like the quarterback now for the San Francisco 49ers who says he will no longer stand for the national anthem until he sees a change in black justice. Now, you see, if I were a San Francisco 49er fan, I would never attend another game, because, you see, that bigoted man receives millions and millions of dollars, and the people pay for it. So you're paying, you're cheering a man on Sunday that loathes and despises this nation because it does not fit his ideology. You see, I never tried to allow my feelings about races or racism to get derogative. I constantly play black music on this radio program. Number one, I love it. I like it. But I always do things to keep my spirit in the right place. and the proper context. You see, when you are doing right, which is the first five letters in the word righteousness, you always obtain the favor of God. Now, people may dislike you, people may oppose you, people may hate you, they may have contempt for you, but that should not be a reason to negate you always doing the right thing. You see, I don't care what it is, who it is, what it is. My desire, my heart is to do the right thing. That's how you know people aren't right with God, by their simple behavior, their demeanor, their disposition. See, I can be angry and sin, or I can be, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Oh, by the way, John, the rest of that phrase, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So according to a flat earth scenario, the sun, when it goes down, it's dark all over the world. You see, NASA was the one that proved when Joshua asked the Lord to not let the sun set until he defeated the Amorites, or Amalekites, I forget which one it was. It's a historical proven fact there was an additional 8 hours of sunlight by the Aztecs, Indians, I believe it was in Mexico. It's a historical fact. So Joshua had, scientists claims, 8 more hours of sunshine, which meant somebody had to have 8 more hours of darkness. But it's amazing. It is amazing how people will major on minors and minor on majors. Now, let's just assume the earth is flat. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ being nailed to a cross, shedding his red royal crimson blood, what does that have to do? I just found that in Joshua 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Uh-oh, as Scooby-Doo said, ruh-roh. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now you see, John, why don't you just get you a pair of scissors and just cut all of that out of your Bible, because that's hogwash from your perspective. So, you know, God is jerking our chain. God is lying to us about so much. Let me see here, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? You know, Jasher, by the way, is not canonized in the scriptures. But there are historical things written in these other books, the Apocrypha, like the Book of Enoch. And we know that the Book of Enoch was not canonized in the scriptures, but we do know that Jude, inspired by the Holy Ghost, makes reference to the Book of Enoch. Jude, verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment." Wow. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, hasted not to go down a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it. And the moon stayed until Israel had avenged themselves upon their enemies. God can do anything. I remember in school, the controversy about the earth being flat and how they were afraid Columbus was going to sail off the edge of the earth because it had a edge or a ledge like a piece of wood. And when you see people that make mountains out of a molehill, there's something wrong with their spirit. Now I, as you well know, preach adamantly, unyieldingly against sin. But to break fellowship over such nonsense shows me that people's heart is not right with God. You see, I give Bible for my explanations, but like always, they don't give me any Bible. They give me rhetorical conjecture and jargon. Like one lady shot me an email and said, "But the notes in my Bible says different." So we're now comparing men's notes with the inspired Word of God. What a tragedy. No wonder false doctrine and corrupt doctrine is permeating the church as never before. I mean, it's so bad, even God prophesied atheism. In Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. There is no God." The old cliche is true. There are no atheists in foxholes. You see, there's something innate in a man that lets him know without a shadow of a doubt. There is a supreme deity. There is a supreme majesty. There is a supreme authority somewhere. As a Christian, I know who he is. He's Jehovah. And he has been so gracious to humanity to give his only begotten Son. And then not only that, but after his Son ascended back to the heavenlies, he sent the Holy Ghost, which is a comforter, and he would unctionize our minds and our hearts to know the truth. Because the Spirit of God, of course, in John 16:13 is called the Spirit of Truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Whether the earth is flat or round has nothing to do with my salvation. I find it literally amusing, comical, But I also find it sad that people would fall out one with another because one says when he watches satellites and sees the Earth, the space shuttle, and sees that it's a sphere, it's round, and because he's listening to some liar, he says, I'm through with you, Pastor. It would really be hilarious if it wasn't the truth. It would be absolutely laughable if it wasn't the truth. You know, it's like I've used the analogy that male and female anatomically is a God design, and we use it every day of our life like screwing a light bulb into a light socket, plugging a fan into a wall, plugging a computer wire into another computer or keyboard or printer or a wire into a microphone that I speak on. It's male and female. It's male and it's female. And then we have the concept of orbiting, things being round, like the tires on your car. Flat tires will get you nowhere. But round, inflated tires will help you to roll down the highway. Even a woman's kneading rolling pin to roll out biscuits or dough for pies. I mean, you look at things that are round for a reason. Spheres, especially in Japan where they have propane gas in them, and they do that for the sake of having a horrific earthquake. Not all the propane tanks will explode because they are round, and they put them in different places. But so many things, like on my soundboard, the holes are round and we put quarter-inch jacks in them to make connections, but the hole is round. Where does this idea come from? You see, man takes hold of God's design and he then suddenly envelop something round like a hose pipe. How many square hose pipes do you see? How many square fire hoses do you see? There's a reason God does things and designs things with intent and purpose. Even the ark was designed specifically so it could withstand the flood. All the knobs on most of my recording equipment, they're round. We turn the volume up, we turn the volume down. They're not square. Every auxiliary EQ and pan knob on my board is round. Now, some of the pots where we adjust the sound is straight up and down, but everything else is round. Even my microphone is round. It's not square. Now, some things are square. My EQ, my stereo noise suppressor, square. But to think that is something spiritual and, well, I just can't support you anymore, Pastor. You think you know everything. You stop seeking truth. Let me tell you something, sir. You lie on me. You lie on me. You need to repent for lying on me. I'm always seeking truth. I'm not interested in whether the earth is round or flat or triangular or whatever, elongate. I don't care. I want to make it to heaven. I want to take all the souls that I can to heaven with me. And you see, some of these things don't have anything to do with redemption or the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something wrong spiritually and mentally with somebody that takes issue over those things and then wants to rebuke me because I believe in a Trinity. And I give numerous scriptures to validate what I said. Jesus was in the river of Jordan, if I recall. The Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove, and there was a voice heard from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." See, the Holy Ghost can take on all sorts of forms, fire, water, dove. You know, at the end of the day, you're either saved or you're lost. And I want to pursue Christ and know Him and let these other trivial things fall to the wayside. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.